Welcome to Your Turn, Mike Causey. Glad to have you with us. We're here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. and always trying to follow the money. My guest today, we had to reach far and wide in-house here. My guest, the leadoff guest, is Francis Rose. He does the in-depth show, The Afternoon Drive, for Federal News Radio. Been around a long time. We have worked together in the past on our own shows, you and I together, and always have fun when we... when we visit.
Indeed we do.
Going to do it today. So welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
We don't really have an agenda on this kind of thing. We just sort of free flowing.
Sometimes that's to our detriment.
Well, I'm picking up the Washington Post this morning, and I'm reminded of somebody who years ago, he said, there's nothing more interesting than being a government worker because of the breadth and scope of the government. I mean, you can be anything from taking volcanic temperatures in Hawaii to, you know, the depths of the ocean.
Yes.
You just name it. And I'm looking at the front page today, and it's not all good. Criminal probe of the IRS launched.
Mm-hmm.
We know what that's about, mm-hmm. or at least we think we do. Phone records uproar ends Holder's respite. Talking about Eric Holder, the Attorney General. And the Associated Press things. Hagel orders retraining amid new sex crime case, and Defense Secretary Hagel, and yet another person who's part of the military effort to weed out sexual harassment has been accused of it himself. An astronaut touches down as he continues to take off. This astronaut is a federal employee.
Yep.
It's GS 14 or 15 or 16. On and on, Moscow expels U.S. envoy, says he's a spy.
Yep.
So this is either a CIA person, as the Kremlin alleges, or it's a diplomat, an innocent diplomat who's being kicked out for whatever reason. But it's just, it's a fascinating time to be a government worker.
Hold that page up. Because that's an interesting way to look at this. I had not seen it when I looked at the paper, but if you look at it that way, with the and it may even be that guy that's on the Washington Monument.
There you go.
He's probably a contractor, but he could be a federal employee.
Universal Builders, yeah. But
okay,
he's working for the government.
He's a contractor working for the federal government. So pretty much the entire front page of the Washington Post is either somebody who works for the government or somebody who's doing the business of the federal government. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah, it's not just us here in Washington. It is everywhere, and the scope of it. And I know when we talk to people about interesting jobs, one of the blander federal agencies you would think would be the Interior Department. And yet the Interior Department has its own police force, U.S. Park Police. They're in the Minerals Management Service, which is one of the government's biggest moneymakers. They've since changed the name, but they do leases. And National Park Rangers. I mean, you just think about this. And working for the government's absolutely fascinating and challenging.
The spread of it is something that I don't think people understand. And that's something we've talked about on my show a number of times, you and I and some of my other guests. When people talk about the size of government, that's a philosophical discussion or an ideological discussion, but I'm not sure people really understand the full scope, and they can have the conversation about whether people should do those things under the umbrella of the federal government or not, but I'm not sure people really know all the things that go on.
Well, and if you look at the numbers, too, the waxing and waning of government service, but the numbers have held pretty consistent over the years. President Bill Clinton eliminated something like 270,000 federal jobs, largely by contract, adding them as contractors, but be that as it may, the number is down. The population is up tremendously, so the number of government workers per 100 or 1,000 citizens is much smaller than it's ever been, so people have to work smarter and cheaper.
Well, that gets to the heart of the whole conversation about what the government's going to look like, you know, 2 years from now or 5 years from now or 10 years from now. As another topic you and I have talked about pretty extensively is the retirement wave or tsunami or whatever name you want to attach to it. But whether the workforce gets reshaped during that time, or whether people just say, well, we are losing this person who's done this job for the last 20 years, so we need another person that does that, that's still kind of open to debate. That's still something that remains to be seen. But there are a lot of people out there that are saying this could turn into a tremendous opportunity to really reshape how the government fulfills each of its missions, whatever they may be.
Yeah, and particularly as we get into the electronic age and people are doing more with handhelds and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Our number, if you want to join in the conversation, is 202 402-465-3080. That's 202. That's a Washington area code, 465-3080. So give us a call if you want and join in on this. Francis, my column today, we're talking about the Defense Department and the sequestrations, and it's fascinating to me to over the process to see how this thing has unfolded, and you followed it as closely as anybody. But when they unveiled it, the president said it's not going to happen,
mm-hmm.
and then the Congress sort of said it's too awful to happen. Well, it happened.
Yep.
And then when it happened, nothing happened. You know, for the first few days, people were expecting the power to go out and that sort of thing, and it didn't. Now the furloughs are starting to kick in. We've had the air traffic controllers flap. The EPA, Office of Management and Budget, is talking about furloughing people. And yesterday, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel announced that he was trying to hold it down, and they have dropped from 22 furlough days and 780,000 people to, as of yesterday, it's 11 furlough days beginning July 8th. And it'll affect 100,000 fewer civilians than they had anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a sort of a no-money bet with a senior defense correspondent. He covers the Pentagon exclusively, so he knows it much better than I do. But we were talking right after the 22 days was announced, and I said, I don't think it's going to happen. And I said, I think it'll get down to zero. And he said, I think it'll be more than 22 days.
Wow.
So that was interesting. And it's
so what
it's
did you gone. Win?
Well, I wish we'd put some money
if
on it.
If you hadn't,
now.
If you didn't win money,
yeah.
You got.
But it's there's a sameness to this federal news cycle, and yet it seems to be different every time. We've been through nothing quite like sequestration, but we've been through other things before. And my experience has been that they say this, it's going to happen. It's going to be across the board, no exceptions. And then you start granting the exceptions. And that's what I thought would happen this time.
Yeah.
And indeed, it has happened with the FAA, you know, the exceptions for the air traffic controllers, Agriculture Department exceptions for the meat and poultry inspectors. And it's now the Weather Service, NOAA, is talking about furloughing people here at the beginning of the tornado season and the hurricane season. And I have a feeling that there may be exceptional people as well.
Well, and we're starting to hear, the people I talked to on the Hill are saying that they're already hearing exception. We want to do an exception here and there. And because the FAA and the food safety inspectors and so on kind of set a bar. Oh, well, if they can demonstrate this particular function is really vital, maybe we can do a set aside also. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw more of those in the coming weeks.
Well, I got a call the other day from somebody, and he said, why is the Office of Management Budget furloughing people and the Office of Personnel Management is not? And they're quite different agencies. They have some overlap. They're quite different agencies. But one of them, my guess is, the OMB works directly for the White House. It's an arm of the White House. And if the White House decides it must cancel public tours, highly visible public tours, then that's what's going to happen in other places. And we're going to start seeing these exceptions. Lauren Larson's giving me the one-minute break here. We need to take a short break. We'll be right back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
This is Aileen Black, Vice President of VMware Federal. With all the talk about cloud computing in the federal community, one has got to wonder, whose cloud are we really talking about? Cloud computing is changing the way IT resources are delivered, managed, and consumed. No small deal. As agencies seek agility, cost savings, security, and flexibility, the last thing you need is to get locked into a one-size-fits-all model that forces dependence on something you can't control. More federal IT infrastructure is virtualized on VMware than any other platform because virtualization is the foundation for cloud computing. Our solutions aren't just complete, they're completely flexible, so you can build the most important cloud in the world, your cloud.
The Federal News Radio CXO Survey 2013 Priorities, underwritten by VMware and Carahsoft, provides insight into CIO's top priorities in 2013. Cloud, mobile, big data, and the changing landscape of budgets. Go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword survey, to see the results.
Here's Ray Brown, Division Chief for Enterprise Server Operations Centers, U.S. Department of State, on the Federal Executive Forum on Virtualization and Data Center Consolidation, sponsored by Juniper Networks.
Network security, perimeter security is a high priority issue for us, and it's an important issue because as we grow in our capacity to offer citizen services and diplomacy throughout the world, that network, external network access is growing.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com. The federal data center is evolving as agencies deploy scalable computing on demand. Are you confident your network will keep pace? Can your agency infrastructure leverage the benefits of cloud computing, virtualization, and big data analysis today? It's time to understand what your future data center can do. Let Juniper Federal Networking Professionals show you options for performance, scalability, security, and cost-effective data center solutions. Learn how Juniper can help you build the best. Visit juniper.net/data center.
Tom, you were supposed to be at the Jones hearing this morning. That bill is important to us.
I was there all morning.
Wait a second. Sally said you picked up your lab results from the doctor this morning.
I did. I got all of my lab results, asked my doctor a question, and ordered 2 prescription refills. But I never left the hearing.
How did you do that?
Kaiser Permanente. They send lab results electronically.
Huh.
I can also email my doctor's office and order most prescription refills electronically.
No kidding.
While I was in the Senate hearing, I even made a follow-up appointment for next week at their new care center by Union Station.
Tom, you did all of that from your cell phone?
Yep, from the hearing room.
Huh.
That's why I joined Kaiser Permanente. They're probably the most electronically connected care team in the country. Plus, they have great quality and service ratings. I checked them out on the NCQA website. So relax. I never left the hearing room, and I had it all covered.
I never doubted you for a second, Tom.
Kaiser Permanente, the future of healthcare today.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Pissarro as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Visit myvillagegreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Megafood and Gero Formulas.
At this year's 12th annual Government Performance Summit, the focus is on the science and art of information and those who bring skilled insights to data. On June 10th and 11th, engage with the emerging leaders in statistical skills, predictive business modeling, and elite performance measurement skills. They will be discussing the new federal career track in performance analysis and the ripple effects for your career and future. For the first time, this is a complimentary event for all government employees, so register today at governmentperformance.org.
Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. I'm talking with Francis Rose. He is the afternoon drive host for In Depth here at Federal News Radio, and we've been buddies for a long, long time, and enjoy talking shop. It's always fun with him. He sometimes get a very different slant to it. Francis, we're talking about the furloughs and the Defense Department and, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel and Jared Serbu, our Pentagon correspondent, has a good roundup today, good story on it, and also he made available the Secretary's memo to us, which is very helpful. You heard it live. What's your take?
Well, there were two points that he made yesterday that I thought were particularly interesting. One of them, the first one, was he addressed directly, to his credit, I think, the issue that the Navy came out, I guess it was about a month ago, and said, we don't think we have to do any civilian furloughs at all. We think we have our financial situation under control, and we won't have to do any. And that went away really quickly. I imagine somebody from OSD had a talk with somebody at the Navy and said, you don't want to keep going on that line. And Secretary Hagel addressed that and pretty much said, we're all in this together. We're all going to do this the same way. We don't want any inter-service bickering going on about, well, I'm in the Air Force and I have to take some, and my friend at the Navy didn't have to. They didn't want to hear that. So I thought that part of it was interesting, too, the fact that maybe these service budgets are not as separated as we think they are. The other element that I thought was interesting was he said that this isn't entirely finished. 11 isn't necessarily the final number. And he said he's going to keep trying to find ways, if they can, to end furloughs early, if possible. Now, what that says to me is if these don't start until July 8th, That's the new deadline now. And if Secretary Hagel can try to figure out a way between now and July 8th to mitigate them or to eliminate them entirely, that's still potentially on the table. So my takeaway from that comment was 11 isn't it. This is the where we stand today, the same way as for a while we were at 22. For a while we were at 14. Now we're at 11 and we may not be done yet.
Right. And I thought he put it well, too. He said, I'm not promising anything.
Correct.
But he's going to try his best. And he said, I owe you that. And the country, the nation owes you that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm thinking? I'm having flashbacks here when this happens. The Defense Department, traditionally, when it comes to personnel matters, you know, the care and feeding of employees, civilians in particular, the Defense Department has nearly always taken the lead. Back in the 1990s, when President Clinton decided to downsize the government, he had a number, 272,400, I believe, was the number. And the reason for that, and Washington likes precise numbers. It makes it sound like you know what you're talking about. But Secretary McNamara was a good one for that. But he wanted to get the government down to the levels it had been under John F. Kennedy. That was his stated goal. And they did it. And they primarily did it. There were some reductions in force, some layoffs. But primarily it was done with buyouts. $25,000 before taxes, mm-hmm. $25,000 before all deductions. Well, back in 1993, that was a lot more money than it is today.
Yeah.
But it was aimed at people with military service, people who had veterans preference. It was aimed at men in shipyards and whatnot. It was the kind of people they wanted to get rid of and thought they could do without, or they could contract out and preserve their diversity gains.
Mm-hmm.
But defense took the lead. Defense was the first to offer buyouts, and most of the buyouts that were offered over those several years, although they were government-wide, the vast majority came in defense. Then when you had, under the Bush administration, you had this pay-for-performance idea, which evolved into the National Security Personnel System. That was implemented in defense and defense only because it was blocked by unions and other federal agencies, and then it was rolled back. But do you see this as defense is the Uncle Sam's GPS?
Yeah, well, and I agree with that just from the point of view of how many people at other agencies, at civilian agencies, say, yeah, we really pay attention to what they do. We watch what they do, and we want to observe what they do, and we want to know more about what's going on inside DOD as it will translate to how we would run things at our agency. You know, just for grins, that $25,000 number is something you and I have talked about before. So just for fun, I went on the internet and calculated what $25,000 in 1993 is today, and it's over $40,000. So to keep up with inflation, the buyout number that we would be thinking or hearing theoretically from agencies would be $40,000. And I don't know about you, but the idea of agencies moving their buyout numbers for the coming year or so to $40,000, the odds of that happening are probably zero.
Slim
or
none, yeah.
Less,
yeah.
If that's possible. And yet, that's what it would take to kind of keep up with where the buyout idea started back in the Clinton administration, as you're talking about.
And, you know, they have this old thing, they called it the triple nickel.
Yeah.
And it's been around forever. And when it started back in antiquity, it was $5,000. Add 5 years service to your government time and 5 years to your age. And that was the magic formula. Somebody, they tracked it back to somewhere in like Tallahassee, Florida, Pensacola, Florida. But somebody started it, got it going around by phone, but people believed it. And every year it gets adjusted for inflation. And the last time I heard it, it's $50,000. So that's close to your number. But there is no such thing. There are no buyouts on the horizon. It's it's just not going to happen for a while.
Well, and I just want that's a good point. I want to be very clear because these things have a tendency to turn into the telephone game from elementary school. Nobody's proposing that the buyout number would go to $40,000. It's not going to happen, but that's what it would take. And, you know, as we've said, as you said before, $25,000, if you need that much money, if you really need it, you shouldn't take it because you really should continue working. $40,000, though, starts to turn into a different conversation. So it's just interesting the way that you can twist all these, move all these numbers around.
I can't think of the last time, if ever, that anybody has seriously, you know, other than a rumor mill, seriously proposed raising the amount of the buyout.
Yeah.
And as we've seen, there have been early retirement offers, but very few buyouts. And the Postal Service buyouts have been less than $25,000, and they've been spread over 2 years. So that those days seem to be gone with the wind.
The buyout situation now, the thing I always wonder is what buyout season looks like and how that changes. And I wonder if we're ready for another round or if you don't think we're going to see any more until the end of this fiscal year.
You know, I've been so wrong about everything else. The buyout season, of course, officially starts October 1. This is the first day of the new fiscal year, and it goes through November and December. Once you get into the new calendar year, January and thereon, there's a law of diminishing returns, and you don't want to wait until too late in the fiscal year, having paid somebody's salary all that time, and then give them a buyout.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are going to be any, I would predict early in the fiscal year, starting October 1, going into November, maybe January. But again, there's no indication of buyouts and certainly no indication that no thought of increasing the amount.
So based on your track record, I shouldn't ask you for Preakness predictions.
No, wait. I'll tell you the week after.
Oh, fantastic.
I'll tell you why it happened.
Yeah.
I
want to go back to what you were talking about the front page of the Post this morning with all of the stories there about federal employees. That is interesting to me for another reason that we didn't talk about before, and that is because I don't know if people just who aren't in the world that we live in would ever come up with that idea.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something that people would ever think of, that all of these people are connected in one way or another with the federal government. And I don't know if that's good or bad or if it makes a difference, if it just is. But I wonder about that concept of connecting the dots and the kind of impression that would leave with somebody who maybe is disposed toward liking the federal government or who is disposed toward not liking the federal government.
You know, I don't know this to be factual, but the Congress is at an all-time low in its self-esteem with the public. I think it's down to 14% approval rating, or it's lower even than radio broadcasters.
It's hard to believe.
But individual people vote for their member of Congress. And you'll hear again and again, they're all crooks, except my guy. Yeah, except the lady that represents me, they're all crooks. And I think people do this with lawyers. You know, again, all crooks except the one that handled my divorce.
Right.
Dentist, terrible ripoff artist, except my guy.
Yeah, but I found the only one.
Yeah, the only true one. And I just wonder if people don't do that with the government, if they don't cherry pick.
I think they do.
Yeah, and also they confuse state and local at times.
Yes, absolutely.
With federal.
Absolutely.
Which is not always good for the feds.
Well, and I think another thing that we see from polls is that they confuse executive and legislative branch. People can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
And so people really disdain the ineffectiveness of Congress and mix that up with what they see in the executive branch agencies, too.
Yeah. And again, you'll have a situation like Boston. And you know, there people were still connecting the dots and doing this. I was astounded at how quickly they got those guys. I mean, when you look at the chaotic situation, the total surprise and shock, and everybody said, oh, social media is going to help, and these CCC TV cameras are going to help a lot. Well, what those cameras meant was they had literally jillions of images to look at. Somebody had to eyeball each one of those.
Mm-hmm.
They had to take likely suspects, send people out to Logan Airport and to the train stations, people who were leaving the next day, and hold it up and ask everybody, did you see this? And I just blown away how quickly they responded and acted on this. And that was federal, state, and local, but, you know, the FBI and Homeland Security and Customs was in there.
We are seeing, too, that there is an improvement there in information sharing all across at all levels of government, and that's something the government struggled with for a long time at all levels.
Yeah, they literally the same communications and everybody being on the same page. Need to take a short break here. We'll be right back on Federal News Radio.
And now the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
A bit of good news for federal employees when it comes to sequestration. Some furloughed feds may be able to use annual leave to offset their unpaid days off. However, only feds who have been given the option to choose some of their furlough days would be eligible. And an employee could only make the substitution if an agency canceled the need for furloughs after an employee had already taken more than the required number of days off. For more specifics on furloughs at your agency, go to federalnewsradio.com/sequestration.
The current sequestration and furloughs are just the latest in a series of financial challenges that have faced federal employees over the years. Fortunately, for the past 7 decades, WEPA, a nonprofit association, has been protecting civilian federal employees and their families with life insurance that is significantly less expensive than FEGLI. Visit WAEPA.org to see how much you can save. And also learn about WEPA's premium refund and college scholarship programs. Again, that's WAEPA.org.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
For over a century, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth in our nation's capital. The club's new STEAM initiative uses the arts to teach science, technology, engineering, and math. Today, more than ever, we need your support of STEAM. It will encourage our youth to think rather than memorize, create rather than copy, and to be resourceful rather than reserved. So visit boysandgirlsclubs.org. Send a dollar or more as an investment to help us help our kids pick up STEAM. Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, great futures start here.
This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Join me this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock for Power of Attorney here on 1500 AM. This week, Maryland attorney Gia Shepherdson joins me to discuss her role in representing children whose parents are embroiled in custody litigation. Power of Attorney is sponsored by the full-service law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, located in Reston, Virginia, taking pride in working together with our clients, fully invested in their success. For more information about the show, visit us on the web at powerofattorneyradio.com.
For over a century, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth in our nation's capital. The club's new STEAM initiative uses the arts to teach science, technology, engineering, and math. Today, more than ever, we need your support of STEAM. It will encourage our youth to think rather than memorize, create rather than copy, and to be resourceful rather than reserved. So visit boysandgirlsclubs.org. Send a dollar or more as an investment to help us help our kids pick up STEAM. Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, great futures start here. This message is brought to you by GEICO and WTOP.
At BAE Systems, we always focus on keeping troops safe. One challenge military pilots face, it's called a brownout. When helicopter pilots confront dust storms or fog, the risk of collision is much higher. That's why we created a technology that lets pilots see terrain and obstacles through these conditions. Knowing our work helps to save lives inspires us every day. We'll be there on the next front. That's BAE Systems. That's inspired work. Learn more at baesystems.com/nextfront.
Say you're joining a video conference remotely, the meeting ends, and the person you want to talk to walks out the door. Now you could follow them. A new remotely controlled technology called Beam can display a live video conference image of your talking head perched at eye level atop a stand on wheels. From any computer, workers just
log in, choose a device anywhere in the world, beam into it, and operate it through the video, audio, and driving.
Yup, driving. Josh Tyler, an engineer at Suitable Technologies, says 2 HD cameras, 6 microphones, speakers, and a dual Wi-Fi system lets the teleported worker seamlessly navigate and be a real presence throughout an office.
You can push a chair out of the way. You can push doors open or closed. Basically, what a person can do, we've tried to make it possible.
To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey, and I'm talking with Federal News Radio's Francis Rose, who does the in-depth show in the afternoon. And We've done a lot of shows together over the years. Always fun to work with him. And we're going to be joined in a little bit by Jim McElhattan. He is the new guy with the Federal Times, and his beat is contractors and contracting. So get a different take on that. That was kind of the subject of today's columns, that federal workers have been slapped and contractors have been punched in the gut by this, because whereas a few feds have been furloughed, and for them that's a big deal, it's a 20% pay cut for that week, but a number of contractors have also been furloughed, and a goodly number have been fired or fear that they're going to be fired.
The impact on the contractor community is still kind of, I guess it's a little wavy too, because there are some companies, especially the smaller companies, that are saying, we can't plan, we don't know what's going to happen, and so we've got to plan for the worst, and the worst in the case of the small companies is we're not here anymore.
Yeah.
The bigger company is a little different, because you can absorb it, and you can absorb it longer. But it's starting to show mostly from what I understand in the smaller companies.
Well, and also, and I have no proof of this, but what you hear is that some companies are using the sequester and the fear of furloughs in order to just get rid of people.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, sorry, Jack, if I had my way, you'd be here, but look what that silly old Congress and the White House have done to us.
Well, and it's interesting. I had a guy on my show not too long ago, and you can find it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, who looked at the WARN notices that were sent out for Commonwealth of Virginia, fewer this year than last year.
Yeah.
And so that kind of goes to the idea, and again, WARN notices only have to go out to the larger companies, have to send them. Smaller companies don't have to do it. But that kind of fits with what I have heard anecdotally other places about the larger companies still trying to really figure out what this is all going to mean for the long term and plan accordingly.
And I think some of them have been through things like this before, and they share some of my cynicism in that the world is not going to necessarily end on a date given, but it will creep into it, and there'll be exemptions, and it will sort of self-destruct at some point. No guarantee of that, but it has happened.
No, and that's true. And the concept that we don't know, and there's a lot of places that still don't know. I mean, we're just hearing, 2.5 months after sequestration hit, what the Defense Department's plan is. And they're certainly one of the most complicated organizations, but that doesn't mean that it's any easier for other agencies to figure them out. If you go on our sequestration tracker, where we have all the furlough things lined up there, there are still some pretty big cabinet-level agencies that haven't really announced to their employees what they're going to do yet. So this isn't over by a long shot, and if the agencies are still trying to figure it out, I can imagine it's only going to take the contracting community longer than that yet to really know where they're going to go.
I saw a printed report, I can't remember where, this morning, but maybe it was Politico, but somebody said that the primary furloughs, when and if they happen, will be in defense, but that there'll be about another 100,000 workers in other agencies that will be furloughed, and that didn't seem very high to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a big number. I mean, I guess it's like you and I always say, it depends, and it's all relative. But, the numbers, it's hard to, I guess, really parse them, because having never really done anything quite like this before, it's tricky to try to prognosticate,
well,
I suppose.
As we know, and we do it all the time, and we're in the middle of it, but covering this people side of government is harder than it looks, and it does call for precision, and some of the reporting I've heard from people who don't do this on the beat is very sloppy, to say the least, and they're using furloughs and layoffs interchangeably, and they're mixing apples and oranges here, so it's hard to follow this.
Well, and it is, to defend my brothers and sisters in the journalism community, it's hard to cover this space on a parachute basis. It's hard to do it, to have your boss say, go cover this story this one time, and tomorrow we're going to have you back on some other beat and covering some other thing. It's really hard to understand all these complicated issues on a part-time basis.
Right. And sometimes the parachute artists can come up with the most interesting stuff, sometimes because they're not exactly correct, but it is interesting.
That's right. Well, I guess that's one of the reasons, as you mentioned earlier, that our journalism colleagues are kind of down there with Congress and used car salesmen and funeral home directors, not to slimed the funeral home directors.
As Sarah Palin said, she called them the lamestream press.
Yeah, well.
I think we need to take a break here, and then we're going to go to speak with Jim McElhenney. Federal Times. We'll be right back here on Federal News Radio.
Is your IT organization struggling with an outmoded data center that's ill-equipped to accommodate today's converged, high-density IT infrastructures? If so, HP's data center transformation experts can work with you to analyze all of your options and help you select the solution that's right for you. From renovating an existing facility to new construction, co-location, or outsourcing, and an IT architecture that accommodates private, public, hybrid, and converged cloud, HP Critical Facility Services employs a programmatic approach to the data center lifecycle based on the alignment of IT, facility, and agency stakeholders. Their experienced consultants have served as trusted advisors to IT organizations worldwide. And with consulting services that address every phase of the lifecycle, from strategy and detailed design to comprehensive implementation and commissioning to ongoing operation, they're ready to help you on your journey of IT and facilities transformation to a future state that's more sustainable, flexible, and affordable. To learn more, visit hp.com/go/federal. That's hp.com/go/federal, or contact your HP representative.
Quit and help others. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. If you're thinking about quitting smoking, there are some steps you can take to get there. Just ask Tiffany. She did it. Here's how.
I started by setting a quit date. Then I threw out my ashtrays, lighters, and matches. I did other things too, like exercising more.
Her most enduring motivation to stay quit has been her daughter and the memory of her mother.
She died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes when I was only 16.
The Tips from Former Smokers campaign features real people like Tiffany. If you know someone who is thinking about quitting, encourage them. If you smoke, you can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW for free help. Within 20 minutes, your heart rate and blood pressure drop. After 3 months of quitting, your breathing improves. After a year of quitting, your risk of heart disease is cut in half. Learn more at betobaccofree.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Garlow.
Do you work in one of the influential industries that make up Washington's workforce? Looking for more than a job? Looking for a career move? Then start your search at powerjobs.com. PowerJobs features senior-level positions in Washington's leading industries, including healthcare, technology, defense, hospitality, government, and nonprofit. At PowerJobs, the mission is to connect the area's top talent to leading employers like Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority, the Brookings Institution, and U.S. Sentencing Commission. Jobs featured on PowerJobs.com this week include Director of Federal Relations and Policy Analysis, American Association of State Colleges and Universities, and Federal and Regulatory Government Relations Program Representative, Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority. What are you waiting for? Tap into the power of Power Jobs. Start your career search at powerjobs.com today. Finally, a career site made for you. Powerjobs.com.
At Kaiser Permanente, we want you to live well, be well, and thrive. Now, there's an app for that. With the new Kaiser Permanente mobile app, designed specifically for the needs of our members, you can schedule a routine appointment with your doctor's office, refill a prescription, check on your test results, review your medical records, email your doctor's office, all from your smartphone, directly and securely. Now, in addition to apps that let you find a local yogurt shop or post pictures of your dog wearing a hat, there's an app that lets you do something even more remarkable. It helps you stay connected with everyone who's important to your health and your family's health. Get the Kaiser Permanente mobile app at the Android Market or the Apple App Store, or bookmark kp.org on your smartphone. It's as easy as slicing flying fruit with a ninja sword, if you know what I mean. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated. 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852. Apple is a registered trademark of Apple Inc. Android is a trademark of Google Inc.
The Federal News Radio United Way Community Spotlight is DC CAP. Did you know that since 1999, DC CAP has worked to double the number of district students who enroll in college and triple the number who graduate? Join DC CAP in its mission to give every DC public and public charter high school student a chance at a college education. Support DC CAP in assisting more DC students today. For more info, visit federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio charities are fed by Papa John's.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Mike Halsey, welcome back to Your Turn here. I'm talking with Francis Rose. He's the afternoon drive host of In Depth, and we have Jim McElhattan on the line. Jim, are you with us?
Sure am. How you doing?
Well, good. Good to have you. This is your first time out, and welcome to Pirate. We call it Pirate Radio because your boss, Steve Watkins, when we started doing this, he said if things got dull, we could liven it up by speaking in pirate accents. welcome to the club.
Thanks for having me.
And now your beat is contracts and contracting.
That's right.
As my grandson Tyler would say, what's that mean?
Well, I guess it means, what part of government doesn't involve contracting these days? So a little bit of everything. We've obviously been following sequestration and its impact on contractors. And I was listening to you guys earlier, and I think you're right. You know, just before coming in to talk to you, did a little... news search, and I saw one headline that said sequestration hits defense contractors hard, and then another one that said major contractors report little damage from sequestration. And maybe in a way they're both right, but it's certainly hard to kind of get a handle on what the impact is, what it's going to be, but certainly there's definitely a lot of uncertainty out there.
Is it possible, though, that it could be both at the same time? I mean, those two mm-hmm. stories, I think I saw the same stories, and as I dug down into them, it doesn't look like they're necessarily mutually exclusive, just kind of confusing based on where everybody is with this whole topic right now.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and they're both right. I was going through some Securities and Exchange Commission filings, and this doesn't involve a contractor, but it kind of shows you how uncertain things are out there. There's a bowling alley that's about 2 miles from the offices here, and it's owned by a company called Bowl America, which owns a chain of bowling alleys in Virginia and some in Florida, I think. And they, in their latest quarterly report, talked about the impact of sequestration. And I don't think they have any federal contracts, but they said, management believes that the federal government's sequestration policies are a source of unease with our customers and potential customers. And they go on to say, people remain hesitant to spend discretionary dollars. So if bowling alley owners are concerned about sequestration, you can imagine what it's, the impact in offices of people who provide security services, janitorial services, defense services to the federal government.
Well, that's really an interesting point. When they were assessing the impact of BRAC, the base realignment and closure thing, and it was bringing more jobs to the Washington area, particularly Northern Virginia, and somebody estimated that for every federal job that was brought in, that would create 6 positions of some kind just to service them, whether it's parking or food service or what have you. Maybe Bowl America bowling alleys, too.
Sure, yeah. And I heard you guys talking, too, about the WARN Act. And, and you're right about that, too. There's really not been a lot of WARN Act notices. And, of course, only big companies have to file those notices. But there's confusion in the contractor community on whether to file these or not. There had been guidance from the Department of Labor and from OMB saying essentially that the government would cover the cost of litigation and liability costs under the WARN Act and essentially telling contractors to hold off. Meanwhile, contractors are talking to labor lawyers and getting an entirely different message. So what do they do? Some have filed. A major contractor called Serco had based in Reston filed notices about 700 or so employees in Maryland and Virginia, based on what may happen, not necessarily what will happen. But we haven't seen those same notices from the likes of Lockheed Martin or Boeing or other big contractors.
Now, right. When they put the notices out, does that mean that they have to follow through, or are these possibility notices where they're saying the possibility exists that we might have to lay you off or furlough you?
According to Serco, when we talked to them, they said it's based on what may happen, not what will happen necessarily. Other contractors said, you know, that it has nothing to do with sequestration. It's a contract changeover. They lost out on a contract, and so, you know, this is just, you're going to see these notices anyway. So, and of course, when they file, they don't say whether or not it's for sequestration or not. And so you've got to make calls and try to find out. But they don't necessarily have to lay these employees off. And under the WARN Act, it doesn't require notices in cases involving an unforeseen business circumstance. So the test of whether that applies to sequestration or not remains to be seen. And, ultimately, maybe the courts will decide that.
And what we're talking about here, of course, are these WARN letters, WARN, and the idea is to warn people within, 60-day notice in some cases, 30 in others in the government, that you may be furloughed, be laid off. And before the election, interesting timing, before the election, the Labor Department sent out notices, as you were alluding to, Jim, to many big contractors, and they said, you don't have to bother sending those silly notices out now and making people nervous. And if you get in trouble later on, we'll cover your costs. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. And, I've talked to some labor lawyers who basically say, err on the side of caution and go ahead and issue the WARN Act notice because, again, agencies don't enforce the act, the courts do. And ultimately, maybe it's something the courts are going to weigh in on. But until then, there's just a lot of murkiness and confusion out there, I think.
Yeah, and as you point out, they don't have to, just because you get a notice doesn't mean you're going to be furloughed or laid off. And just because you get a notice, it doesn't mean that the furlough or the layoff will be because of sequestration. It could be for virtually any other reason. Jim, but some years back, maybe 20 now, the Brookings Institution came out with an estimate as to the number of government contractors. And at the time, I believe they said there were either 6 or 8 government contractors for each federal government employee. Do you have any numbers or any ratio like that?
No, I sure don't. I'm sorry, I don't. But like we were talking about, in the beginning of our conversation, I'm somewhat new to the beat here and still wrapping my head around it. But certainly it involves just about every aspect of government. And I was talking to somebody on a story not too long ago, just talking about the fact that, how dramatically things have changed in the past 15 years with particularly IT services, contracting these services out, that to what extent has the federal workforce, been able to keep up with these technology changes, and it's, largely been faster and cheaper to contract these services out. And, as a result, we just see so much of government. Probably 15, 20 years ago, when you walked into a federal building, that security guard was a federal employee. That janitor was a federal employee. That's changed. These are contract employees.
Interesting, too. So many people in government don't like contract employees, or say they don't. They say they're paid better, they get better benefits, they cost more. But one of the arguments for having a contractor is that when that particular function is done or no longer needed or is phased out, they simply get rid of the employee, whereas if it was a government worker, they would be on the payrolls forever and then retire from the government and getting those benefits.
Yeah, certainly, you probably see it yourselves, I'm sure, when you walk into the same federal building or the same federal courthouse year after year after year, and you get to know the security guards, for example. Well, their uniforms change. These contracts change, but that same guard is still there. And the same people, are still doing the job by and large. So, for instance, some of these Warnock notices, I was talking to some company officials. There was a sense that they lost the contract, but the employees are just going to get picked up by the other contractor. And so, again, a lot of times you see those uniform changes, and but the personnel will just kind of move from contract to contract. And certainly for folks who say federal employees and in some cases I'm sure that's totally correct that they don't get paid nearly what their contractor counterparts do. When you're talking about the janitorial and the security services and the folks out there mowing the lawns, those contracts, those margins are tight, and those folks work hard and certainly earn every penny they get.
What is the thing that you have that has surprised you the most about starting to cover this beat and getting to know the players and learning about how all this goes?
Oh, it's very complicated stuff. Particularly on sequestration. How do you gauge the impact? How do you get a sense of exactly what the impact is? And there is no when we want to find out how many federal workers are furloughed, we call up an agency. But I was talking to an unemployment official in Virginia, trying to get a sense, and in Maryland as well, trying to get a sense of how this is going to play out. Well, they don't know either. It's not like these filings are going to come in, and the contractor is going to say it's because of sequestration. It's certainly complicated, and just trying to kind of rely on all the different sources of information to try to paint a picture of what's going on out there. Given the fact that out there right now there is again so much uncertainty and confusion.
Well, yeah, so I guess we can say it's the answer reporters hate to give out. It is we don't know.
No, I'm not shy about saying that. Mm-hmm. And I say it all the time. So, and that's how that, that's what you have to do as a reporter. You have to go find it out so you do know. And there's obviously a lot going on right now, and it's definitely an interesting time to be kind of covering the beat, I guess.
Jim, we started out the show by looking at the front page of the Washington Post today, and every story save one was definitely government-related, government-employed-related, even down to an astronaut. And I'm looking at the op-ed page, where the columnists are in the Post today, and you have a variety of people here, but this is a pretty liberal lineup for the most part. Ruth Marcus is saying that the IRS is too lax on tax scrutiny rather than being too hard on some groups. Dana Milbank refers to President Obama, as he said, he needs to become a participant in his presidency. He calls him the uninterested president because he's not getting into these issues. Kathleen Parker says it's interesting that because of the attack or the Justice Department getting the phone records of the Associated Press, you now have liberal groups and conservative groups who are united in their anger at the department. You get this sense that the government is everywhere?
Yeah, you mentioned that AP story, and that's so interesting. And I guess so. I mean, just as a reporter, I can't say I wasn't thrown off by that and, very interested in that story.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting to see how this plays. Jim, listen, we got to take a break here and wrap this up, but thank you so much. You did very well on your debut. We'll have you back. Francis Rose, I can't get rid of you because you're in the building. Thank you.
That's my pleasure.
Lauren Larson ran the show as per usual, and we've got to go. See you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Have a good week.